Praise God. You ready for the word? Are you hearing it? You ready for the word? Are you ready for the word? Let's go ahead and say, Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive the revelation of your Son. Together as a church, we will Jesus Christ, your Son. He is glorified and we are edified. Amen. Glory to God. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. In the first and second services, we didn't have a fourth, second, third, fourth because of the curfew. We began to look at the influence of the Spirit. The influence of the Spirit. And that's what we are still studying on. Verse 18, Matthew 28. It says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And you know, we have said this, and we will repeat again, that Jesus is teaching from Genesis to Malachi. And one of the important elements of proper Bible study, which is Bible interpretation, is to use the same book that he used. Jesus wasn't teaching from the book of Matthew. He wasn't teaching from Ephesians. He was teaching from Genesis to Malachi, Luke's Gospel 24 and 25. And he said to them, O fools, verse 25, Luke 24, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, Luke 24, since beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, which means that, assuming they're in this service right now, the books they're open to will be Genesis to Malachi. Then in 44, it says, These are the words which I said to you, Luke's Gospel 24, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets concerning me. Verse 45, Luke 24. Turn in there, please. Then he opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Now, that word, understand the scriptures, in the Greek, now, you notice there are two words there. He opened their understanding, which is the way they think, nohus, N-O-U-S in the Greek. He changed the way they were thinking. Alright? He opened their understanding, that they might. So, verse 45 gives you that ability. They might understand. Second word there is suinemi. S-U-I-N-E-M-I. It means to bring the scriptures together, or like we say it in today's language, to synchronize it. To synchronize it. The way you synchronize your thoughts, to synchronize it. So, in Luke's Gospel 25, 27, he interpreted it. Luke's Gospel 25, 24, he synchronized it. Which means that I must be able to read Genesis to Malachi together. And we're not allowed to proof text. Proof text is when you take a text as the proof of all you are saying. When you take, before I came in there, I saw an article written by a friend, somebody I'd known for about 25 years, a friend. He's a friend, he's not a pastor, but he's a minister, he ministers around, you know, around. I haven't seen him in a while, but I just saw the article he wrote. And he just had one text. And he wrote a lot of things on one text. And I kind of felt, you know, this is wrong. He was saying something Paul said, and he didn't give a background to it at all. And he took it, then applied it immediately to the present societal issues. No, that's proof texting. For example, when you read Deuteronomy 22, I should be, that's verse 5. I don't know that text. A man shall not put on, is that the text? You know, I've never remembered that text before. Is that the text? A man shall not put on what pertains to a woman? Right? Is that the text? I always ask people, because it's a text, I've been oppressed by it. So I really don't know it. Now, it's interesting that you take that text and say, don't wear trousers. There are no trousers there. Who defines what pertains to a woman? Who? The tailor. You get it? So when you want to prove text, right, you tell her she's not a Christian. Not yet. Are you a Christian? She's not even sure. What about those guys who come from the ethics, who now have to wear a wrapper? Or a thong? You should not even wear a wrapper. Some of you that sleep men with a wrapper. You don't know what pertains to a woman. Some of you go for NYC women rather than wear the trousers in the. They wear a very big skirt. It's sad enough that it's khaki. You know, I wear khaki skirt. That's interesting. We're going to go to heaven. That's a nice way to go to heaven. But then the truth is that you don't define that till you go back to that world and understand what was in conversation. There's a conversation that led to that law. And if you lay your hands on our books, you see it there. They were going into Canaan, and Canaan was a place riddled with idol worship. And in the idols, they had what you call the idols of fertility. So they mixed things. They used to mix male and female. They would mix crops as a means of worship. So, because it said, be you holy, Leviticus 11:44, as the Lord your God is holy, that means be distinct from them. So a way to be distinct is to ensure you don't copy those same methods of worship. And that's why it was said. So I often tell you, what was the conversation that led to that statement? What led to that particular instruction? Find out. So that you will not be answering a question that was not asked. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. There must be a conversation. So, I said that to say, proof texting is where you pick a text, but you must synchronize it. What does it mean? That means you must find out that the scriptures lead to each other. So when I'm reading Ephesians, right, or the epistles of Paul or Peter or John, or rather Hebrews or Jude or James, I know that it has to do with events of the book of Acts. When I'm reading the book of Acts, I know that it also has to do with events of the four Gospels. Because the four Gospels is the predecessor or the events before the book of Acts. So I know that. Now when I'm reading the four Gospels, I'm equally reading the Old Testament books. What do I mean? The four Gospels is the fulfillment of the prophets. When I'm reading the prophets, I'm equally reading the law. Genesis to Deuteronomy. And precisely, when I'm reading Deuteronomy, I'm reading Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is called the second law. Why is there a second law? Because the first law in Exodus was disobeyed. Where was it disobeyed? Numbers. So the background to Deuteronomy is Numbers. Numbers, Leviticus, and Exodus. Why is there an Exodus? Because a promise was given in Genesis. Can you see what I said? Is it very clear now? So you must read it. So if it's not in Genesis, it can be in Isaiah. If it's not in Deuteronomy, it can be in the Psalms. If it's not in Malachi, it can be in Matthew. If it's not in Matthew, it can be in Ephesians. If it's not in the book of Acts, it can be in Romans. So I must be able to read it together. And I taught you that. Community reading. Community reading. Read everything together. Synchronize it together. A singular story. So when Jesus was teaching, what they were reading was Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. It's like if you did literature in school, English literature. And then I think I read Akin Goes to School. Who read Akin Goes to School? I read Akin Goes to School. I think there's also AZ Goes to School. Right? But I read Akin Goes to School. And imagine your teacher is teaching you literature, no doubt, and the genres, but he has Akin Goes to School. Or he has the books of J.P. Clark. J.P. Clark just passed on recently. The poetry of J.P. Clark. And you decided to buy Things Fall Apart. That's what you are led to buy. You'll be led to go back to another school or repeat the class. Which means to pass the course, you must read the book the teacher is teaching from. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying. So to understand what Jesus is teaching, you must use the book that he taught from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You must use his book. So he taught from Genesis to Malachi. And so like I said in the other services, what you have in the four gospels and you have in the epistles is the summary. Not the whole content. The content is found in Genesis to Malachi. That's why oftentimes, have you observed that you read the book of Acts, then you say, Paul, he convinced them that Jesus was Christ. Then you think that is beginning that, let me give you an idea, that you are justified by all things from which you are not justified in the law of Moses. Acts 13, 38 and 39. The promise that God made to the fathers, he has fulfilled to them, their children, that he raised up Jesus from the dead. So you just read like 10 verses. Yet, when he now tell you the length of time, you now find out that he taught this every day for 3.5 years. Or in an instance, in Acts 20, he taught from evening till the next morning. Then you look at the verses again. Was he taking it letter by letter? A. N. N. D. And so I say, no. It means what you are reading is the summary. The content of what he taught is Genesis to Malachi. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. So when Jesus was teaching here, he's teaching Genesis to Malachi. Matthew 20:20. Lo, I am with you always. Why did he say, I am with you always? The word lo, Matthew 20:20, is a Greek word oraho. H-O-R-A-O. It means look at it intently. For example, if they ask you to count the number of people in this service, you just look around and say, we should be. But there are ushers who do it. Right? And they do it intentionally. And there are also parts of them who go beyond that and maybe could mention that there are some Chelsea fans in, and they knew them by their fruit. What was their fruit? I don't know what it is. So some people go intentionally. So the thing is, they are more deliberate. Then others would take the information. Names, numbers. Oraho is be detailed in what you are looking at. Look at it intently. So, why did he give them that kind of promise? Because he says, go in verse 19 and make disciples of every nation. Now, as I did in the second service, if you read that together, community reading, Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, taught us that the four gospels are written in four accounts so you can get the full picture. So if you read Matthew 28, go and make disciples of every nation. Alright? If you read Mark 16, 16-15, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Alright? Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Go and preach. Okay? Then John 20:23. Whosoever sins are remitted. Whosoever sins are retained, are retained. Verse 21. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come on you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So when we read that together, it therefore suffices to say that the last words of Jesus, or the 40 days that Jesus taught his disciples, according to Acts 1:3, it resulted into what? The preaching of the gospel. Is that correct? The effect of it, the result of it, is the preaching of the gospel. That is, after 40 days, I remember something Miles Monroe, Dr. Miles Monroe said years ago. I listened to him in 1992, December. In a teaching like that, Azusa conference that was hosted by Pastor Carlton Pearson. So he said, and those words never left me. He said, when you come for a conference, you don't come to have a good time. That every time that God calls a meeting, he has a mandate he gives you. There's something to be done. And I made up my mind. I said, this is true. Because I found it in scripture. That there must be a mandate. What is this going to result to? What am I going to do after now? And when you look at the four accounts of the four gospels, alright, of this same theme, there was a mandate. Go and preach. Go and teach. Go and preach. Make disciples. You are my witnesses. So it's consistent. So that means that we cannot have the message of Christ without the ministry of Christ. We can't have the message of Christ without the ministry of Christ. That's clear. Don't forget, he's reading from where again? Genesis to Malachi. Good. So, let's look at something consistent also. Alright? Matthew 28:18. All authority in heaven and earth is given me. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you. So, which means that in giving them that instruction and commission to work, he also gave them the promise of his abiding presence. Lo, I am with you. Mark 16. After telling them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues. They take up serpents, they do the angels, they shall not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick. Verse 18, the sick shall recover. Then verse 20 says, and they went forth everywhere preaching the word, Mark 16:20, and the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs. Confirming the message with signs. The word signs there, the Greek word semion. S-E-M-E-I-O-N. Signs. With signs following. So, Luke 24. After he told them, repentance, 47, and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, 48, you are witnesses. Witnesses of these things. 49. Behold, that's the word behold. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. So, when it says, lo, I am with you, Matthew 28:20, And lo, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Same conversation, right? Very good. John 20, 20 or 21. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Then verse 22. Then he breathed on emphusao. That is, he caused them to come alive inside by the things he said. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Or the word lambano. Receive or take of the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Then he gave them the instruction. Whosoever sins. So the sins that you remit, I remit it unto them. Whosoever sins that you retain, I retain. So before the instruction to preach, gave them the promise of his Spirit. So before the instruction to preach, will come the promise of his abiding presence. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost is coming, which he called in verse 5. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days ends. Verse 4, wait for the promise of the Father which you have heard of me. So, which means, Jesus taught them from Genesis to Malachi to go into all the world. Right? So if that statement is not in Genesis, he couldn't have said it. Right? Then coming with that is the promise of his abiding presence, which is by the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is the abiding presence of Jesus in our lives. So, I will preach the gospel with the influence of the Spirit. Or, I will carry out the work of God in the earth, the will of God in the earth, in and with the influence of the Spirit. So go to Genesis chapter 1. That means, in his teaching, he's teaching from Genesis. Luke 24, 27. Beginning at Moses. Beginning at Genesis. Or Luke 24, 44. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. So Genesis chapter 1. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. Alright. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now we've studied this, in case you've not been around, but we've studied the word beginning here to be a person. That John, in John's gospel, will call the Logos. In the beginning. The word is Reshith or Bereshith. That is used for firstborn, first fruit, or the head of something. So we find God uniting in his Son, Jesus, who is the head of our principles and power, man and dominion. Colossians 1:15 to 18. He calls him heaven and earth. What do you mean by heaven and earth? Verse 2. The earth was without form and void. Now when you say the earth was without form and void, we are not referring to the physical earth. Because the terms used there are spiritual terms. Tohu wa bohu. Now, why should we make that assertion? Don't forget that we said the reason for Genesis was the Exodus. What is in Genesis? The promise of an inheritance. The promise of a promised land. The promise of sanctification. The promise of redemption and Exodus. So, if there is no problem, there is no Exodus. If there is no bondage, there is no deliverance. So, what is the bondage and what is the condition? Without form and void. Tohu wa bohu, which means empty or confused. A spiritual condition of the audience of Moses. An audience of the non-believing, rebellious nation. So when he says the earth will have form and void, he describes their condition. This condition today of the unsaved man. Or like Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Make disciples of every nation. Repentance and remission of sins you preach in his name among all nations. So there are things that come out there. The word darkness therefore is spiritual. The word tohu wabohu is also spiritual. And precisely, he says the Spirit of God moves over the face of the waters. Waters is used for nations in scripture. Numbers 14:21, as I live, saith the Lord, my glory shall fill the earth as the waters covers the sea. Habakkuk 2:14, Psalm 72:19, Isaiah 11:19. All describing nations. The second chapter there, Genesis 2, from verse 10 to 14, through to 15, describes the waters, the river of Euphrates, the river of Gishon, the rivers of Ethiopia, all describing Cush, all describing nations. So which means the Bible opens up with God's redemptive plan, which is going to be executed by His Spirit in all the nations of the earth. Let me see if you understand that. That means the very beginning of the scripture is a redemptive plan. The very first words of scripture is a salvation plan. The very first words of the scripture is God's promise of an exodus. God's promise of a new beginning. For men that are without form and void, men filled with darkness. But the crucial thing there is that it's going to happen by His Spirit. Now, the word Spirit there, and it says the Spirit of God. Now, why do we use Spirit of God? Pay very good attention. The word Spirit, Ruach, in the Hebrew, I need to give you a few things I said in the second service. Now, there are words in the Bible that are called loan words, which is words that are already in a culture, in existence, that are just used to explain. For example, when they say birthright, birthright is a loaned word. When they say EL, where you have Elohim, Eloha, El Gibor, is a word used for deities, that is, extraterrestrial beings that are worshipped. Okay. Don't forget that God always uses human language. So, the word Ruach, in Genesis 1-2, the Spirit of God. Why did he have to say the Spirit of God? So that you can make a distinction. Because that word Spirit, Ruach, which means breath, wind, air. It is a description of extraterrestrial beings, which in their world could be idols, angelic beings, spiritual realities. So he makes a distinction by saying the Spirit of God, which means in the extraterrestrial world, we have different entities, including demons. For example, the word Elohim, used for God in the Old Testament, also refers to judges, magistrates, angelic beings, and even idols. So when it says the Spirit of God, he's making a distinction. Because there's a redemptive work, a redemptive plan, and one of the things that God is redeeming humanity from is idol worship. The Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters or in the nations. If I'm going to explain that to you further, I'll say God is reaching out to the world the plan of salvation. So which means that God's activities in the earth are by His Spirit. God's activities in the earth are by His Spirit. That leads us to come to one conclusion, that in this world that we're in, we have two worlds. We have the seen, we have the unseen. We have the natural, and we have the supernatural. We have the natural, and we have the supernatural. And God primarily walks through the supernatural. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Second time you're going to see that word. Genesis chapter 3 verse 8. It says, and the voice of the Lord God, Genesis 3:8, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. In the cool of the day. Pay attention. In the cool. That word cool is the same word ruach, spirit. The word day is the word yom, Y-O-M, a word that was first mentioned in Genesis 1, 3, and 4. And God said, light be. And He separated verse 4, the light from darkness, and He called the light day, and the darkness night. So which means, day represents the light of God. Day represents the work of God. Day represents God's redemptive plan. Let me see if I'm following this. Are you getting this? So, the Spirit of God, alright, can be interchanged with the light of God. Is that clear? With the Word of God. You don't have the Word of God, then the Spirit of God. Now, of course, we say that in practice. But where you have the Word of God is where you have the Spirit of God. Where you have the Spirit of God is where you have the Word of God. Where you have the life of God is where you have the light of God. Where you have the light of God is where you have the Spirit of God. So, walking in the cool of the day. Now, pay attention to something in there. He says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Now, hold on to that. We come to chapter 6, where we see the word Spirit mentioned again. Chapter 6, verse 3. The Lord said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. My Spirit shall not strive with man. The word strive there is the Hebrew word din, D-I-N. It means to persuade. It means to convince. It also means to judge and examine. Now, if you go to the New Testament, what we call New Testament, the four Gospels, the Greek synonym of that word is what Jesus said in John 16:7. If I don't depart, the Comforter will not come to you. But when I go, I will send him to you. And when he is come, verse 8, he will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The word electros, which is the exact transliteration of the word din. So, what Jesus is saying in John 16:7 and 8 is exactly what is in Genesis 6 and verse 3. Let me see if you're following this. Are you getting this at all? Oh, good. So, to convince. Therefore, by saying the Spirit of God will no longer strive with man or convince him always. 120 years of God's long suffering is being explained here. 120 years of Noah preaching. Now, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Are you learning something? Come on guys, are you learning something? 1 Peter 3. Put your hands in 1 Peter 1, then we'll go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 1, 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets. Is that Noah? Is Noah a prophet? Come on. have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you. Can we take verse 11 together? Searching what? Or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand what? And the glory that should follow. And so this is Genesis to Malachi, right? Come on. Okay, now go to chapter 3. Verse 18. I want us to read it slowly together. Let's go. For Christ. We're going to read to verse 22. So let's start. Let's go. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now, don't rush it. Now the thing here, oftentimes, you see, these verses were not put there by Peter. They were not available. They were not the style of writing in Peter's days. These verses were put there by the translators. Now, there's a confusion here. Because, like I said to you, the breaking of the Bible into verses is actually, as I'm going to say this, has been very counterproductive. Because it's a mode of interpretation in itself. Now, by saying, quickened by the Spirit, 19 now has confused people. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. So, this has made people believe that when Jesus died, he went to the spirits in hell to go and preach. That's far from the truth. Now, if you had done a community reading, you would have read that the Spirit was in the prophets who prophesied of the grace that should come. And verse 12 says that what they prophesied was the gospel. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? So by the time you got to chapter 3, it will have been clear. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirit in prison. Let's take 20 together. Which, hold on. So what he's talking about happened at some point. Are you there? Let's keep reading. Where disobedience, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. So who did the preaching? Who did the preaching? So the people he preached to who are disobedient are now in prison. Let me see how you understand that. Is that very clear? So, what is the long suffering of God? How many years? 120 years. Look at verse 21. Let's say 21 together. The like figure, where unto evil baptism doth now save us, even the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus, who is gone unto heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to. 2 Peter 2. Just two texts there. Verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th. Who was he? A what? Preacher of righteousness, bringing in flood upon the world of the ungodly. So, was Noah a preacher? He preached by the Spirit. Right? Come on, talk to me. So, the preacher of the Spirit that in prison was who? Was who? Was who? Noah. So, in Genesis 6 and 3, my spirit shall no longer, or shall, I will say that, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is flesh. His days shall be what? 120 years. So the 120 years was how long who preached? Very good. So how does God's spirit strive with man? Through a man. So one, the Spirit of God walks towards man and walks through men. So Genesis 1-2, the Spirit of God moved over the waters. Is that the ministry of preaching? Is that the ministry of preaching? Is that the ministry of preaching? Very good. And so we find an example. That example of Noah for 120 years. He's preaching. Preaching about Jesus. Preaching about the promise of God. The image of God in man. The seed of the woman. Preaching about the tree of life. Preaching about the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. But he's preaching by the Spirit of God. So which means that the Spirit of God, who is God himself, is our enablement to carry out God's will in the earth. Say, the Spirit of God is our enablement to carry out the will of God in the earth. Now, what is the will of God in the earth? Redemption. Is that it? Come on. Salvation. Is that it? Sanctification. Inheritance. So that means the goal of the work of the Spirit is what? The new creation. The new birth. Salvation. Redemption. That's the goal. So what we are studying in these services is how does he carry it out? The activities. So we call the influence of the Spirit. The influence of the Spirit. See, I have the influence of the Spirit. So God works in the earth through the Spirit. So, every one of them who were God's spokespersons, I want you to listen very well. This is a very important detail. We're called prophets. Why were they called prophets? Because what they were preaching was a future event. So, if you are going to talk about a future event, right, in the present, and give the facts, right, you will say it revealing by revelation. So that means the prophets of the Old Testament, as we call it, are the preachers of the gospel. Only that the information that they preached about was a promise. And the reason why, we're going to get to this shortly, they did it with the tools of visions and inspired utterances, was because what they were talking about was not happening then. So which means that the reason for visions and revelation is God's promise of redemption, which had not taken place. So they were called prophets. Nabi, in the Hebrew, N-A-B-I, which Abraham was called in Genesis 27, because they were God's spokespersons. So if God's plan was a promise, they will reveal it that way. They announced future events. They announced future occurrences. And so in the earlier service, we said that the first sign of the Spirit in the earth, Genesis 1:3, God said, utterances, inspired speaking, hallelujah, say my words, yield to the Spirit of God, they are inspired by the Spirit of God, to bring salvation, to bring deliverance, are you there, to bring redemption, to bring the glory of God in the earth. So we said in the earlier service, that God introduces his work in the earth by words. He doesn't act then say. He speaks first. So utterances are a primary way God carries his work on earth. Utterances. My spirit shall no longer serve with man. Utterances. Inspired speaking. Inspired words. What it means is that the Spirit of God, God himself, will take a hold and speak through your words. Say he speaks through my lips. Say he speaks through my lips. He'll speak through your lips. What do you mean? Everybody's looking at something and they are complaining. Why is that board that way? Why is that place that way? Darkness has covered it. God, darkness is people. And you're looking at it. Violence was upon the face of the earth. And then somebody gets up and says, the Lord will rescue us. He will take us to this land. He will do this. Say, are you praying? He said, no. On the 14th day, in the 15th year, you know you are preaching the gospel. But because it has not happened, it comes in form of a revelation. Let me see your hand now. Is that very clear? So they were preaching the gospel. Now, as they were preaching the gospel, they were also telling them the consequence of disobedience. Just like Jesus, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be what? Damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. John 20, 23. Whosoever sins are retained, are retained. So, the prophets of the Old Testament were preachers of the gospel who made use of the tools of visions and revelations to communicate the gospel to people. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you following this? Are you following this? So, that means, just like we have said, the goal of the work of the Spirit is redemption of mankind, salvation, the new creation, the new birth, forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So, has God given you the work he gave Noah? Huh? Very good. Has God given you the work he gave Noah? Oh, he did. Hallelujah. From what he said to the 12, God has given us the same work. So, when I pick my Bible and I say, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, I say, this is the Great Commission. The Spirit of God is walking through me in the nations of the earth to bring to pass God's will and purpose. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So if we say that, inspired utterances. So on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, don't forget, Jesus said, you shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Which means the Genesis promise is now being fulfilled through those who are born again now. Because Jesus Christ has come. We'll see all that later. So here, on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly, verse 2, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mad wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Why do you think that the sign was a wind? Wind. Ruach. And there appeared to them, verse 3, cloven tongue like a fire, Acts 2, 3, and it sat upon each of them. They appeared unto them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave us. Now listen carefully. Oftentimes we lose sight of the day of Pentecost. We are stuck on verse 4 that they spoke in tongues. Eteros dosalalia. Different kind of communication. Now we go into the conversation of those who are around. And they say, this man, are these guys drunk? You know, we hear them speak Galileans. Some say we hear them speak the wonderful works of God. Then Peter now got up. Listen carefully. And then he said, these men are not drunk as you suppose. This is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, the word last days, which I mentioned in the second service, is the word eschatos. Oftentimes in the Greek, the word day is not there. It's at last. So when I say at last, that means we are working at doing something, we have now done it. At last. Just like Liverpool walked alone for 30 years. And they finally won the premiership in the year of COVID-19. In premiership speaking. I'm not coming for you. Let me leave you out. You know, but when it happens, at last. That means it has eventually happened. But the bad part is that when many of us had last days is either Antichrist, end of the world, hellfire, or now coronavirus. We're in the last days. What's going on? Hey, they said a boy was born somewhere that he carried cross in his right hand, Quran on the left hand. See, you are very blessed. This is something in the sky. That means like the face of God, oh, Jesus' face. Ah, we're in the last days, oh. Somebody told me, he said, that a country has legislated for lesbianism and homosexuality. Say, ha, man of God, are we not in the last days? I said, nations have done it before Jesus came. Say, hey, oh. There were nations about 2,000 years before the four Gospels that had a worship of lesbianism. And it was not the last days. And Jesus came after. Hallelujah. There's nothing new. Praise the Lord. You didn't hear what I'm saying. But the last day is God's promise has now been done. Hallelujah. Is that very clear? Come on, guys, is that very clear? I'll pour out of my spirit. That means God made a promise. Now it's done. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Do you know, the end of that prophecy is that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, verse 21, shall be saved. So the end point of the move of the Spirit is salvation. Is it making sense now? So, if they ask you, what was the finishing story of the day of Pentecost? And 3,000 men were added to the church. Hallelujah. Let me see how you're following this. Come on. So, the activities of the Spirit are with an intended goal of bringing the will and purpose of God to pass in the earth. So, God will equip us with signs, with wonders, with miracles, so that we'll bring His will to pass in the earth. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So let's just touch one thing quickly and we'll continue on it next week. Now, we have said they are inspired utterances. Then we also have revelations where you see and hear things supernaturally. Genesis chapter 3 and 8 says the Spirit of God, Genesis 3 verse 8, the Spirit of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, walking in the spirit of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. In chapter 4. Verse 16. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. Which means that there was a revelation of God available to them. We're going to explore that next week more. Now I want you to pay attention to chapter 5. And verse 22. Enoch walked with God. Chapter 5 verse 24. Enoch walked with God and he was not. The word walk there, the word alak, which means that he's walking with God, meant that he walked in the revelation of God. Whatever God was doing, he was a part of it. Or he knew about it. Let's move further. Genesis 15, verse 1. I know I didn't give a background to this, but we'll explore it next week. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, Genesis 15:1, in a vision. Again in verse 4, in a vision. So these men, who are God's servants in the earth, spokespersons, preachers in the earth, were equipped with sights and sounds that propagated the course of God in the earth. So God will equip us to speak supernaturally. He will equip us to also see and know and hear things supernaturally. Say, I see, I know, and I hear things supernaturally. You know, on the day of Pentecost, in verse 3, Acts 2, they appeared unto them. They appeared unto them. Everyone in the foundation school. Amen. They appeared unto them. They appeared unto them. And Peter says, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men and old men, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. I've heard people say, when you are old, you dream dreams. When you are young, it's the same thing in the Greek. Divinely granted appearances. Hallelujah. We see and know. I said we see and know. And we don't see to know to divide families and homes. We see and know to bring about God's will in the earth. Hallelujah. See, I yield to the influence of the Spirit. I yield to the influence of the Spirit. This week, next week, this year, next year, I see and know things that bring about the will of God in the earth. I'm God's man. I'm God's vessel. I'm God's agent. So I see and I know things by the Spirit. I'm a vessel of the work of the Spirit in the earth today. You know you can see things in the Spirit. You know you can see things. You know that? You know, Cain wasn't a believer. And he saw. Many folks in the Old Testament saw. Glory to God. I see. And I know. In this week, God's going to give you appearances that will enhance the work that you do. In this week, glory to God. In this week, glory to God. Today, glory to God. Today, you will see things men are not seeing, amen, that will help the cause of what you're doing. Many times we see those things to pray about them. You know, Abraham saw what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw it. So he could pray. We see them to preach. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In taking care of the flock of God, he gives you things to see and things to know. And I must say, don't allow the world, the media, whether print media, news media, or social media, which is very active now, to become what you see. I see in the Spirit. See, I see in the Spirit. I know by the Spirit. You know, we're not subjected to know things the way the world knows it. It's time to see things more. Glory to God. Even when you sleep, you see it. When you're awake, you see it. Glory to God. When you're praying, you see it. God's equipping you in what he wants to do in the earth. In your sight. 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 So therefore, watch what you watch. Watch what you watch and watch what you hear. So your attention is not seized or your attention is not arrested. Watch what you watch and watch what you hear. For there are things to be seen and things to be heard. Times have had to give you one thing, two things to know. You were busy about other things. You had other things in your mind. Remove them from your mind. And lay aside those weights. Lay aside those hindrances. Lay aside those things. and begin to see into my purpose and plan in the earth. For I have many things with which you will see and hear that will enhance the course of your work. Therefore, free your mind from anxiety and panic and fear. Free your mind from the lust of the world and the flesh. And let your mind be open to that leading of my spirit through divinely granted appearances, where you know things 4 or 5 years down the line, and you know things 4 or 5 years that have happened. And all these will help in what you do in the earth today. For I have things to say. I have things to show. I have things to say. I have things to show. And you have things to hear. And you have things to also see. So steady your mind at this time. Steady your mind at this time. Steady your mind at this time. And walk in my purpose and plan. Walk in my purpose and plan. Glory to God. Glory to God. Talk in other tongues. Talk in other tongues. Talk in other tongues.